1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Now the latter time he is talking about in the last days. Now this message was given at least 2,000 years ago. Now he's saying, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that the later time some shall depart from the faith. Now the Spirit, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was inspiring these people and telling ahead of time what's going to happen. Now many people do not believe what I'm saying today and this word is saying. He says, in the later times, some shall depart from the faith. What does it mean? There are some people are in the faith, believers, receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and something happens and they depart from faith, means they turn their back to Jesus Christ. If you remember, Jesus Christ gave the parable about the sower sows the seed. When sower sows the seed, first seed fell on the pathway, and there people walking on that pathway means that ground was hard. So the bird came and took the seed away. Now the word of God is the seed of God. And so that seed was the word of God. And so the devil took it away. Then some seed fell on the stony ground, the rock underneath and the mud little bit on the top. That also, little growth comes and the trials, tribulation, problem comes, they give up the faith. The same way, putting the some of the seed in the thorny ground and thorns chokes the growth. And so when the worldly thing comes in between and chokes the growth of the believers, when they start thinking too much about the world, too much about the worldly thing, the world attracts them with the money, fame, and so many other things. That's why people go away from the truth. And he says, this is going to happen. There are a group of people in this world, they will tell you, once you saved, saved forever. That means once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will never go into hell. You, no matter you go walk away from Christ, you will make it to heaven. According to this scripture, you will not. And what is happening says, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils. Now they are not going just going away from the Lord means I'm not going to church for 6 months or I'm tired, I don't go to church today. Not that kind of person. The person entirely saying, I am fed up of Christianity. I don't want any Christ. I don't want his teaching. And then the seducing spirit will come and try to give them the demonic teaching. You know about Balaam? Balaam was a prophet. And everybody thought he's a good prophet. But Balaam was not the real prophet. He was the soothsayer. He wanted money. He wanted fame. And so what happened when he started giving the teaching which was not according to the word of God? And he gave the teaching, you can worship the idols, you can have fornication, you can have adultery. And when they start doing, thousands of people died. So here is saying, the doctrine of devil comes to the people who deny Christ and walk away. Verse 2. And he says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, their conscience, you know, God has given us conscience. The conscience tells you what is right and what is wrong. Even though some people said, you know, in the jungles of Africa or jungles of India or some Australia jungle, those people never heard about Jesus Christ. Were they going to go to hell or something? Because they didn't hear the word of God, so they have no excuse. The word of God says, God has given us conscience. Each and every person, even the Adam committed sin, he knew what is good and what is bad. So the each and every person knows what is good and what is bad. And so in the time of judgment, if that person stands and God asks him, don't you know when you murder somebody, you knew that is wrong? He cannot say no. He will say yes because his conscience. But here he's saying, once a person goes away from the Lord and seduced by the evil spirit, and the devil start giving his doctrine. What is the devil's doctrine? Go against God. Don't worship God. Don't worship Jesus. Jesus is not the real God. And that's what the devil tells you. And the devil is going to go to hell. And there is one preacher starts saying, I don't think devil is going to go to hell. God will forgive that devil. And there won't be any hell. Because God is love. God doesn't say like that. The hell is prepared, the word of God says, devil and his followers. So now what the devil and his followers are doing, pulling away people from the Lord. And so the word of God is saying, they are speaking lies in hypocrisy. What does it mean? They say a lie such a way that sounds like a truth. That's called hypocrisy. They are not telling, this is a lie I'm telling you. They tell the lie and sound it like a real truth. And they deceive people. And then he says, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Conscience, their heart has calluses. But the olden days, they used to do it for even people. And today also some people do. What they do, they want to make a permanent path on their head. They take hot iron and put it there so they have real path in between permanently. And some people do this kind of things, marking their children with the hot iron. So here is saying the devil has done something, scorched their conscience, their heart with like a hot iron, means permanently damaged their spirit or their conscience. So that means they don't think that is sin anymore. They don't think that is wrong anymore. How people, serial killers, kills one person, maybe feels bad, then keep on killing hundreds and thousands of people if that person kills. Nothing wrong with it. And that's what happened. And who is doing this? He says the devil will do that. And when it happens, when you lose faith in God and start listening the wrong teaching, wrong doctrine. Verse 3.
Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth.
Now somebody will say, who is doing this? Forbidding to marry, who is doing that? There are only two denominations in the world I saw up to now. There might be some more. And Christian. One is Catholic. They don't want priests to be married. They don't want nuns to get married. And they want to do the Lord's work. According to this, they are wrong. God has created man and woman to be together. He created them and blessed them and said, be fruitful. When the husband and wife marries, they should have children. And that's what the God's plan is. But somebody says, no. You come to the ministry, don't get married, and people don't read the Bible. They think, oh, when you don't get married, you might be very holy. Having sex with your wife is not an unholy thing. God has already ordained it. It's a blessed thing. But going after another lady is not according to the will of God. That's adultery, and that is not the will of God. So the people can tell somebody, husband and wife, now they want to serve the Lord, okay, then you come to this church or this place, and you go to another place, and so you can be separated. We don't want any sin. And that is not from the Lord. This is demonic teaching, he says. It's devil's teaching, and devil is seducing them to say this thing. And there is another group that's not a Catholic, that's a Protestant group. And those group also, if you want to join them in the ministry, and if you are not married, they say, okay, then you just say you should not be married forever. They won't force you, but they will teach you. And then if you are husband and wife, they will say, okay, you stay in Philadelphia, and your wife should be in California. You cannot work together in same church. That is the demonic teaching, and that's what the Word of God is saying, forbidding not to marry and commanding to abstain from the meats. Now, do you know there is a group of Christian people telling you to not to eat meat? Now, first of all, somebody says, "Who? What is that group?" You might know, and if you don't know, I'll tell you. There is a Seventh-day Adventist church. They tell you not to eat meat at all. And if you eat the meat, it's not good for you, and they will give the scientific rules and regulations and things like that. And the people who are born in that church or grew in that church, they think it's a normal. But according to the Word of God, it's wrong. You cannot teach somebody not to eat meat. Now, there are some other groups of people coming. Some of the preachers, they come from Jewish background. And then they try to tell you now, certain food is prohibited in the Bible, so you don't eat. If you go and preach the gospel around the world, the Word of God says, when you go to somebody's house and they are heathen, they are not Christian, whatever they give it to you, you just pray over it and eat. If you don't eat their food, they are going to say that we are untouchable or we are bad people. That's why you are not associating with us. So they will not listen to your gospel. The people forbidding not to eat meat. Now, this is the Seventh-day Adventist, but the Catholic Church also tells you don't eat meat, but they don't tell you don't eat all the time. They will say don't eat meat on Friday. So the Word of God says all days are equal and good. Some people say this day is bad and this day is good. It's nothing like that in the eyes of God. Every day is a good day. And so that some people are thinking, okay, don't eat meat on Friday. And some people went a little further than that. They said, don't eat meat at all. It's good for you. Hindu people, Jain people, Buddhist people, they think if you eat meat, you are committing sin. But the God already created each and everything. And the Word of God says, "Is everything is good." In the beginning, God gave the people to eat fruits and vegetables. After that, God says, now I'm sanctifying all the animals, now eat. Later on, when he made a Mosaic law, then he said, don't eat some kind of unclean animals and eat clean animal only. And so these are the rules and regulations were given to the Jewish people. The Word of God says, not a single person will go to heaven if they observe all the Jewish law. There is not a single person can do it, first of all. If they did it, Jesus Christ didn't have to come. Jesus knew that no one can perfectly do the Sabbath or obey the all commandments. That's why Jesus Christ died and he said, I have come not to condemn the law, but to fulfill the law. Then some people say, if Jesus Christ fulfilling the law, why cannot we fulfill the law? He said, if there was somebody before Christ was fulfilling the law, then Jesus Christ didn't have to come. He came to fulfill the law. Now he said, now I give you a new commandment. Now you just do one thing, love one another and love your God. And once you start doing that, you will not break any law. And so, once you love the Lord and love your brothers and sisters in your enemy, you are not going to do anything wrong. So the point I'm making, Jesus Christ gave us that grace. Then when you receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, what happens? He gives you supernatural power to overcome the demonic forces. That means if you are smoking and drinking and you are struggling lifelong, but once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He gives you supernatural power to say no to cigarette, to no to sinful activities, because He takes control of your life. He becomes the Lord of your life. So here the Word of God is saying, first of all, forbidding to not to marry and commanding to abstain from the meat which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So he's saying, if you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe God, then you know the God's commandment. God says, I have given this to you, and when you're taking this, you eat with a prayer and thanksgiving, and nothing will happen to you. Now some people say, oh, because you're eating meat, you have sickness and disease. Let me tell you, some people are eating vegetable only, and they're getting sick. So all kinds of vegetable is contaminated, and so you have a problem. But the Word of God says, even though you drink deadly poisonous thing and you didn't know it, you pray over it, it will not harm you. I'm not just reading it, I'm telling you from my own experience. I was in India, I was walking on the street, and there were a group of people raising money to build the Hindu temple. And the one man was standing on one foot. And I was curious why this man is standing on one foot. So I asked somebody, why this man is standing? Because I'm here for a long time and this man is standing. They said, this man is standing for 18 years on one foot. So now his foot is completely paralyzed. He cannot even put it down. 18 years he put it like this. So now he can only walk with the one foot and stand in one foot. So the Spirit of the Lord told me, witness to these people. So they thought I'm a businessman. So one man comes and whispers in my ear, you might be a businessman, could you give us some money to build the temple? I said, sir, before I say anything or give you anything, I want to say something. So go to ask your priest. So he whispers to him and he said, can this person say something? I said, go ahead. They thought he is going to give money. So I stood there and took the Bible and say, the Word of God says, God does not live in a handmade temple. What kind of temple you're going to make for me? And so I preached. They could not say a word. The time was running and I had the appointment to meet the engineer, and he was sick, so I was going to go and pray for him. So I said, sir, the time is gone and I'm going to come back. And so the man says, no, you're not going anywhere. So I said, what did I do? He said, you have to drink this and then go. And so I said, I'm not thirsty. He said, but you have to drink if you are really man of God, and if your Jesus can save you and you have that power, we have to test it. The man was sitting in the back and I'm sitting this way. So the man is behind me, took a jar and put some powder and start mixing it. I was a Christian brother. He told me in different language, so these people would not understand. So he said to me, these people put some poison, please don't drink it. So I said to this man, don't you worry. Bible says even that they put poison, it will not hurt me. And I took the jar, I prayed over it. I said, Lord, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to prove it to these people that Jesus Christ is greater than their God. And I took that and drank it, last drop. I said, sir, it's empty now. Gave it to him. And I said, I'll be back because I'm going to pray for somebody. And they were camping there for 6 months. And they were going to camp 6 more months to gather their money. And they don't want to go from there. But when we finished that preaching, while we're going, the man said to me, Brother Peter, you have poison in your body. Let's go to the hospital. And hospital was in walking distance at that time these people were sitting. I said, I'm not going to go to hospital. God knows my situation. And so we went and prayed for that man and we came back. Nobody was there. They ran. I'm not dead. I'm still alive. What I'm trying to say, this happened almost 40 years ago. I'm still alive. So the word of God is saying, when you eat something, pray over it. Even the people are eating vegetable and good food, they're dying. They're getting sick. And when you are Christian and you are in the hotel or you are in the restaurant, you are afraid to pray because somebody will say something or sue you. And so you don't pray. But if I go to restaurant, I will pray, not whispering, because I am not afraid of anybody. And I want to let the people know that I am blessing the food. I will bless the food, I will pray over it, and nothing will harm me. So that's what the word of God is saying. Okay, let's read the verse 4.
For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving.
See, now here he's saying very clearly, every creature of God is good. Do you know when God created everything, what did he say? It is good. He never said, I created something bad. Uh-oh, I made a mistake. God never said that. Everything he created was good. And so he said, everything God has created is good, and you should not be refusing anything that's saying this is bad. When you go to somebody's house, and when I go there and I see something, creepy things, I don't like to eat, I don't complain. I just eat something which I can eat. I am not going to say, why did you put this frog meat or why did you put this something there? I don't have to complain. There are Chinese people eat frog, they eat cat, they eat everything. And even some of the Philippine people eat dogs. And so I don't have to condemn them. If the Chinese people eating everything, why they're multiplying? And we should not be arguing about this. And now, this 21st century, people start saying, all the animals, you should not harm them. Spotted owl, you should not kill. Eagle, they should be multiplied. The whale should be multiplied. Even the vicious dogs and all kinds of things, you should be multiplying. You don't do anything. Sounds good. But if you start doing that, they will kill you one day. There was a village in India. If the population was, I'm just giving an example, population was 1,000, the dogs will be 10,000 or 13,000. Now just think, why the poverty will not come to India? You have mouse running all around. They say, oh, don't kill, that's a god. Because their mouse, the Ganesh, is a god with a elephant mouth, and his horse is a mouse. This is all made up story, but they keep the mouse where the Ganesh picture is. So the mouse you cannot kill. And now they have storage. They are going to ship this food, the grain, to foreign country or some other country. Those mice comes and they take all this food and eat away, but they are afraid to kill them. The monkeys. There are monkeys are killing people, pushing the people out of the balcony. You might have heard it. One mayor was pushed out of the balcony and he died. Monkey did it. Still they don't kill monkeys. And so this kind of thing, you start doing it, you will be fool in the eyes of God. God says you be controlling all the animals, sea, land, or anywhere. You are in charge. But now, the dog is in charge of you. You have to walk him. He tells you go this way, you go. Tells you go that way, you go. So you are servant to the cats and dogs and animals. And you are not ruling them, but they are ruling you. And that's what the mixed up generation we are living in. So here the word of God is saying, Don't refuse anything. Everything you receive with thanksgiving, you can digest anything. And so the Word of God says, this is what God has given you. So what you have to do, you just say, thank you, Jesus. Whatever you have given to me, you sanctify it, and it will be done. Let's read the following verse.
For it is sanctified by the Word of God and prayer.
See, already says, it is sanctified. When you say sanctified, what does this mean? It is set apart. Now it is not the food was bad food. Now you pray over it, it's sanctified. It became good now, eatable. It was few minutes ago, it was not eatable. But now you put it in your plate, pray over it, now it's sanctified. Now it's cleansed, it's ready to eat. And that's what it says. And how it does? Sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. How you sanctify by the Word of God, do you know? You're going to say to God, Lord, your Word says every animal, every creature, you made it good. And you said, don't refuse to eat. You said, you can eat it and you can sanctify it. Didn't you say, God? Yes. So now I'm quoting your Word, you sanctify this. And then you pray. God says, remind me in case you want to pray and you God said something. Then you say, God, you said this. That's why now I have no food. I have nothing to eat. So I'm going to eat the lizard. Help me now to digest. It will be done. But if you have a delicious food and you're looking for lizard, that will be your problem. You have some good food, then eat good food first. Now, some people, what they do, when somebody gives to them food and something they don't like, they say, I'm going to eat that first. So what I'm going to do, then I'm enjoying the good food later. And they, when they eat that, they have no appetite to eat the other thing. What I'm trying to say, eat the best one first. And then if you don't like that, you leave it there. You eat the bad food first, and then you, and the same way some people keep the food in the refrigerator or freezer. And what they do, oh, this is 3 days old, let me eat that first. And then he says, 2 days, I'll eat that, and the fresh one I eat later. So what they're doing, the routine, the fresh one goes 3 days old, and you keep on eating the old food, old food, old food. When I cook the rice, a brand new rice, and my wife said, where is the old rice? Forget that old rice, eat the fresh rice first. And then if that fresh rice finish and remaining, if you are hungry and you didn't get the chance to cook, then eat that. God will sanctify that. Don't go to the bad food first. Eat the good food first. You eat that first. Enjoy what God has given to you.
Amen.
Don't keep it for later. Verse 6.
If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained.
Now he says, if you are the minister, it's your job to tell others what you learn. And when you learn the good doctrine, you learn the good teaching, then you pass it on to somebody else. Otherwise, you will be gluttony, spiritual gluttony. You listen, 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 but never tell anybody. You read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible, but do not practice what the Bible says. That's the kind of spiritual gluttony you become. So the Word of God says, when God has given you these things, you nourish yourself, be strong-minded, and then start teaching others. So what happens? The other people also will learn from you. And you will be telling others, now I learned something and I'm doing according to the Word of God, following everything what God has given to me and using everything God has taught me. That's the kind of Christian life you live. You cannot just listen this way and going out of this way. You learn and practice. Some people say, you know what? I have a problem. I read the Bible and I like the scripture, and I forget. You know why you're forgetting? Because you're not using that word. You got one word, You write it down, memorize, and say somebody, this word is so excited. I was studying the Bible and this word popped up. And so it helped me. Would you like to hear? And you tell three people, I guarantee you, you will never forget. That's the way to learn. What you study, what you learn, give it to somebody. Tell somebody what you learn. That's what he's saying. Okay, let's read the verse 7.
But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness.
Now he is saying, refuse profane and old wives' fable. Do you know what it is? He says, in the olden days, now also, some people have some kind of fables. It's not godly. They might be funny. They might be demonic. But the people keep on using it. And sometimes some people tell me those kind of fables, which is so vulgar meaning, I would say, I don't want to hear it. Now, I don't know how to give an example. I don't want to give example, but this kind of fables makes you happy, makes you joyful, but mislead you or give you wrong teaching. And those fables keep on coming, the old fables keep on coming. So point I'm making, some kind of sayings, they're coming. Now the Christian people are using these fables. The word of God says, do not take the other God's name. Don't use other God's name in your mouth. You go to yoga, they teach you to take the name of the Hindu gods. And they say this is exercise. Actually, they are spiritual exercise they are giving you. And they will tell you, don't say this word to anybody. A secret. So each and every person, they give the name. If you talk to somebody, they say, oh, that's the name they give it to me. But he said, don't say. They will give a Hindu god's name to meditate as you do the exercise. And so the word of God says, do not take those old wives' fables. Because if you do like that, then you will be not a godly man. Godly people use godly stuff. When the preachers start preaching, they are not preaching the doctrine. I'm talking about the preachers. They are telling the tales of the story or something which is not based on their Bible, and people like it, they laugh it, they enjoy it. But the Saint Paul is saying, you have to know the doctrine of God, not the fables and not the ordinary worldly things, but the pure gospel. Verse 8.
For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that it now is, and of that which is to come.
Now this thing is coming very, very fast to the Christian churches. And then some teaching came that you want to lose the weight, you do exercise. And now they're doing a lot of exercise. And some of the churches, they have exercise machine in the church. I'm not saying it's bad, because here he's saying it's profitable. But how much? A little. The bodily exercise profitable, a little. It's not much. Now, if you ask me, I never did any exercise in my life. No exercise machine, no nothing in my hand or my house. I don't go for jogging. I don't do any exercise. I'm healthy and I'm living for God. So here is saying, let's read that verse. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. In another word, the godly exercise is profiteth in all things. When you come to church, start praising God and hallelujah, glorify God, and 1 hour praising, you will lose your weight and you will feel good. He says, the bodily exercise profiteth little, but the godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. That means the spiritual exercise will help you today and help you in eternity. If you are spending your time 3 hours in a gym exercising with the unsaved people, you are wasting your time. There are people and joggers. Jogged and fell down and died. The runners ran and fell down and died. And history will tell you. So this is not God's will. The godly people waste 6 hours of jogging. Do you know if you want to go in Olympic, how many hours you have to swim? How many hours you have to jog? How many hours you have to run? How many hours you have to box? For what? One gold medal for the lifetime, and that gold medal you won, and if you are not a born-again Christian, you will die and go to hell, and that medal will go to hell. Other man who did so much gold medal, and then he says, my dad wanted my gold medal, so I'm going to put it in his coffin, to just give honor to his father. So that's what the word of God is saying. People do not know what they're doing. Because if they are born again, saved people of God, they will be not doing these things 6 hours, 10 hours, and wasting their time for the little bit medal. We have to have the eternal life medal in this world. So what do? If you do the exercise, it will profit you little. If you do more spiritual exercise, it will profit you in this world and world to come. Okay, verse 9.
This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation.
Now this is faithful saying. St. Paul is saying, I'm not kidding. Whatever I told you about the spiritual matters and the exercise, this should be acceptable to all. Everybody should say, this is it. I am going to do the spiritual exercise more. How can you do it? Read the Bible every day, pray every day, fast every week if you can, and pray for others, and read Bible, and go to church, not any church, go to church where the full gospel is preached, and not compromise. There you're going to grow. And so that's what he's saying. This is faithful saying. Verse 10.
For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe.
I'm telling you this, so when you start practicing what I'm preaching to you, people will tell us we are nuts. We are not good people. They will give us hard time. We will have problem in this world. But we are not going to be afraid of somebody. We are going to keep on doing what God told us to do. He says, there are so many people will be telling you, you are wrong. You know what? If you teach a simple teaching, simple doctrine, everybody loves you. So here Paul is saying, when you start preaching, you will have a problem. When you tell the truth, truth hurts. People don't like truth. They like fable, they like joke, they like all kinds of things. When you start telling the truth, they don't like it. He said, but we are suffering in this world. We trust the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. He said, don't worry. We are a believer. And the believers will like it. And God will like it. Don't worry other people like it or not. So our God is good God. So he says, he is the Savior of the all mankind, but especially of those that believe. So we got a good God. We have to hold on to Jesus Christ. If somebody comes to me and gives me another doctrine, the word of God says in Galatians chapter 1, that person should be cursed. He said, even the angel brings you new teaching, he said that angel should be cursed. St. Paul is saying, I am just like a wise master builder. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Please read.
According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, of what sort it is.
Now see, here is St. Paul is saying, I am like a wise master builder, and I'm building on the foundation which is Christ. And so everybody says, oh, we are Christian. Every denomination, they said, we are Christian. We are building on the foundation. He said, they are building, some of them, on a wood, a hay, and stubble. So he said, that kind of work will not stand when the test comes. Jesus Christ gave an example. He says, there were two builders. One man built the house on the sand, one man built the house on the rock. What happened? The hurricane came, the wind came, the sandy castle was demolished, but the house was on the rock, stood. The word of God says, rock is Christ. When you building your church on a rock, don't build your church on the sand, easy way. The word of God says, two people agree and pray, I will be listening to their prayer. Three people gather together in one mind and one accord, I will be in their midst. He didn't say I have to have 3 million people. Jesus said, the wider is the road, goes where? To hell. Narrow road goes to heaven. So the narrow road is the hard road. We have to walk very carefully. And so here he's saying, people are building on the wrong foundation. Ephesians chapter 2, and read from verse 20 to 22. Here he's saying, you build upon that foundation. And then he says, apostles and prophets, Peter, Paul, John, they are the one teaching us the foundation teaching. Go ahead.
And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Apostles and prophets building the church. That's why I'm saying go to the church where the full gospel is preached. Not a half gospel, not a little gospel. Full gospel is preached. Okay, let's go back to the 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Now it's very simple. It says, these things command and teach. What things? Things what he's telling St. Paul to Timothy. He says, when I'm teaching these things, you tell other people the same thing. And you teach the same thing. Don't mix anything. Pure gospel to give it to people. Okay, verse 12.
Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity.
Timothy is a young man, so he said, let no man despise thy youth. When you are young, many people will try to entice you. I went through that. When I was young and not married, every house I go, they will ask you, could you marry my daughter? Could you marry me? Could you marry me? Until I got married, I had lot of problem people coming after me. So he's saying, there are people trying to destroy you. So he says, no man despise thy youth. That means don't give somebody chance to say that you are fooling around with somebody and going to church and preach. Do not do it. I told you the other day, one man, he called me to preach in his church, an 8 years old girl and her mother playing the piano. I said to the lady, where is the father of this girl? You come and play the piano. Why didn't you invite the father to church? When I preached and went, the elder of the church lady calls me, Pastor Peter, you asked the father of that baby? That is our pastor. He is not married to that lady. And he's not even divorced the other lady. I say, oh, let me call the pastor. Pastor, who is that girl? And who is the father of the girl? What he says? Everything is in the blood. What? Everything under the blood. I say, sir, how it come? You did not divorce your wife? And you have 8 years you lived in sin and did not get married, and that lady playing the piano in the church, and you said everything under the blood? Did you repent? Oh, yes, everything. I said, listen, repentance means what? Repentance means turn around. Do the first thing what you were doing. You better turn around and tell this lady to get out of my house and get out of my church. I will take care of the baby and go to your wife and say, honey, I made a mistake and I want to live with you because I never divorced you. And then God will bless you. He said, I'm going to marry her. I said, doesn't work that way. You did not divorce your wife. You cannot marry this lady. Within a short period of time, the same lady called me. Say, Pastor Peter, guess what? Our pastor dropped dead. Young man. So that's what the word of God is saying. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou a good example to all the believers and workers. Why? And then he said, in the words, in conversation, in the love, in the spirit, and in faith and purity. Each and everything you have to be an example to the other people, other believers, because the people are looking at your life. If you say, I'm a Christian, and you don't go to church 6 months, they are going to say something wrong with you. You cannot say, I'm a Christian and don't go to church and I never saw you reading Bible. The same way the believers will say, your children will say, Mom, you said you are a Christian and you believe. I never saw you reading Bible. I never saw you going on a knee and praying. So the believers has to be an example to your children. One day I went to the one house and I was kneeling down and praying and speaking in tongue and praising God. And there was a child came and sat with me and started doing the same thing. When I speaking in the tongue, he started speaking in tongue.